but time is running out. I'm talking here and now. I'm talking here and now.
It's not about what you've done, it's about what you do. It's all about where you're going, no matter where you've been. Let's go.
Hi, and welcome to Get You Fit Radio, the radio show that helps you lead a healthy lifestyle. I'm Irene Cook, your host, and today I'm going to talk about calorie logging and food logging and why it's important and why it should be watched for. And when I say watched for, of course, there are benefits to everything. And with everything, there's always barriers. So to log, should you log or should you be in a fog? If you are a client of mine, you have definitely heard me say that before. In fact, I've joked about making t-shirts that say that. You must log or you are in a fog. And what this means is it is accountability. In order to not be in a fog, you must see what you are doing. And anytime somebody takes on the position of ownership in documenting what they're writing, they are more apt to see what they're doing. Many people begin the year with these resolutions, and this is when more people are apt to be accountable for their actions. A food diary can be very useful in this process. Not only can it help you figure out your eating habits and patterns, but it can identify foods that might not be so good for you to eat on a regular basis. This is something that I'm actually using with my clients more and more, to identify things that don't make them feel good. And I'm not just talking about a stomach ache or a food intolerance. And yes, those things are great. You can pinpoint issues such as that. But I'm even talking about energy levels. I'm talking about how you feel after a certain meal, because there are certain meals that might make you feel sleepy. There are certain meals that might give you more energy. And these things are all important. And having this all documented is essential to figuring this out. But certainly for weight loss, this will help accentuate your progress. There's been a lot of studies done, but one particular study where they took 1,700 participants that kept daily food records. What ended up happening was the 1,700 people, half of them that kept food records lost double the weight. And this prompted scientists to take this step further. So what they did was they took 2,000 participants, and I've talked about this study before. I talk about it all the time because to me, this says it all. One group was told to log everything they ate, and they would be paid a cash sum each month just for logging what they ate. That is what they got in return. The other group was asked to log their food with nothing in return. They were just asked to log their food. Obviously, the group that was paid money had a little higher success rate. But let me finish the study here. 80% of group A that was asked to lost weight. And wait till you hear this. 80% of them lost 20 pounds within a 6-month period. Group B, we did have 50% that lost weight, which is still amazing. In the first group of the 80% that lost weight, most of them, and when I say most of them, it was a figure of 90% of them, and I don't want to throw out too many numbers to confuse you, but 90% of them started figuring out nutritional data on their own. So they on their own started looking up what nutrition was of these foods, because they started losing weight, they started feeling good, they wanted to make associations between the calories, the nutritional data of these foods so that they can continue to lose weight. And the same research went on with the second group. So what does this tell you? This tells you that people have to almost be forced to log their food. It's something that we look at as being cumbersome. People have to be forced to log their food, but yet we all want to lose weight. People pay to lose weight, but yet we have to be forced to log our food. So we have to kind of turn the way we think around. So what should you include when you're logging your food? Well, this is kind of why I wanted to do the show. Last night, when I should have been sleeping, I was answering some texts, and I had a text from a lady who's trying so hard. And, you know, she's a single mom. She's got a lot going on, struggling financially. And I include that because, you know, she can't just go out and buy food containers, and she can't just go out and buy ample ingredients. And she's texting me, and she's struggling trying to figure out the calories of this pizza soup that's on this menu. And she is frazzled because the ingredients and her calorie sum is not coming out the same as what her friends did for the same recipe. And this is why she's texting me, because she's just it's just not working. And her soup came out to be, you know, 370 some calories, and her friends came out to be 312. And I'm just so frustrated. And I hope that you're seeing my point, those of you listening, because the point here is not to get frazzled over a few calories. The point is not to spend hours focusing on the math, focusing on the ingredients, focusing on all of these minuscule things that truly aren't making the difference. The focus is on the fact that you are calculating your food. You are putting it down. You are accountable to it. You're also accountable to the fact that you didn't eat the cookie that was sitting on the counter while you were making the soup. That is what the logging is for. Because everything that we measure in life is going to come with some level of inaccuracy. You're not going to have everything be picture perfect. In fact, when you weigh yourself in the morning, that is more than likely not your actual accurate weight. Based on what you had the night before, based on if you've gone to the bathroom, based on so many different factors. The air temperature of what the weatherman says outside may not be the exact air temperature. Your oven may not be exactly 350 degrees like it says. You know, we're so tied to these accurate numbers when that isn't what we're looking for. We are looking for you writing down the full picture of what you are eating and recording the specific things, such as your breakfast, such as your lunch, such as did you use a cup, or did you just eyeball it and dump a bunch of cottage cheese in, hoping for the best? Because that is where I see the biggest results with people. And so for those reasons, that is what you should include in your food log. So jotting things down while you're eating, measuring these things, and being in the range of where you should be should matter. And so if you're doing this, if you are writing these things down, and this could be on a piece of paper. Back in 1986, when I started this, I wrote it down in a piece of paper. And back in 1986, when I started this, I had to look up the calories in this outdated book to find out where and what the calories were of what I was eating. And I still lost weight because I was being accountable for what I was eating and I was writing it down. I was developing the patterns and the routines that I needed. And I guarantee you that the accuracy wasn't there, but I built the routines that were needed. All right, so hopefully that tip definitely helps. So if you are somebody that is wanting to look into a food app, you might be a little overwhelmed. Of course, if you go on Google or you go on the app world and you put in best food apps, you are going to see a lot of options. So first off, very few of them are free, sadly. And this is because of their popularity, supply and demand. Now, many of them do have free options. And I will tell you that the free options are plenty for you to get by with. The upgrades are nice, but they're bells and whistles that you don't need. And I'm gonna get to that in a minute. The free options will calculate your caloric intake. They have databases that will tell you the calories, the carbs, the protein, the fats. The systems will give you an approximate caloric limit that you need for the day. Now, that might not be actually what you need for the day. It is just a program that's telling you what you need for the day. So my advice to you would be to ask a dietitian, ask a coach, ask an expert, a doctor, to give you a caloric limit that is suitable for you based on if you want to lose weight, if you want to gain weight, if you want to maintain your weight. And certainly don't pay attention to all of those macros. Those macros are an advanced step. Everybody wants to pay attention to the macros. And if you don't know what I'm referring to, the macros are your proteins, your carbohydrates, and your fats. And these are very important elements in weight loss and in nutrition, but they're also very, very confusing. And if you don't know what a healthy fat is, and you don't know what a good carb is or what a good essential protein is, you could be eating hot dogs and cheese curds with brownies all day long. And your app will look at you in the face and say that you have hit your macros. And I am faced with people all the time that come to me and say, well, I've hit my macros. But I look at what they've eaten. And I see, well, you had a sweet potato, but the butter that you had on there is calculating as a fat, and that is not a healthy fat. And the sweet potato you had, unfortunately, because you didn't weigh it, was 400 calories. And so therefore, this is where the value comes in. So if you are a beginner at this, just the basics. This is no different than the kindergartner coming up to the teacher on the first day of school and asking to learn how to write cursive. There's no sense in teaching a child to write in cursive when they don't even know how to write their name on the dotted line. And I use this with my clients. You need to learn how to write your name on the dotted line. And what I mean by that is you need to learn how to use the app. You need to learn how to identify a good protein. You need to understand that a lean protein is a good protein. You need to understand that a carbohydrate, a grain, a legume, these are good carbohydrates, and a healthy fat are your avocados and your eggs and your salmons and your nuts, because the app isn't going to tell you that. Now, there are some apps now, and again, this is where you would pay for it, that will even give you those prompts. And I'm going to kind of go down the apps right now for those of you that are interested. So the one that I use is MyFitnessPal, and most people use MyFitnessPal. It is the most popular. It does have the largest database, but I want to talk about this database. It is a user database, and what that means is I can sit down right now, and I could put in that I had a jelly donut, and the jelly donut was 280 calories and 30 grams of sugar, and it's going to go into that database. So when you go searching for a jelly donut, it's going to come up. That doesn't mean it's accurate. So you have to be careful with that. The good news is MyFitnessPal has been around for a long time, and you could tell which data entries are the better ones. So this is a plus. It has a lot of really great features, and you could share with your friends as far as looking at each other's diaries. And I do this all the time. I look at people's diaries to help them make better decisions. And this is a very, very valuable piece because I'm able to go on, look at someone's log, and tell them if they're getting enough protein, if they're getting enough carbs, or if they're not getting enough of something as well. The next app is Lose It. And that one kind of came up as the second most popular. Lose It is also a free app, and it does also have an upgrade. Lose It ties with your Apple Watch. So you can actually log through your Apple Watch, and that's also a good feature. The next one that is the one that actually rates you. So if it is a healthy macro, you get grades on them. So a healthy macro would give you an A. An unhealthy macro would give you a C or a D or an F. This app is called My Net Diary. This one is quite sophisticated, and the upgrade for this one is, I think, $7 a month. But anybody out there that really loves upgraded, advanced, a lot of data, this is the one that you definitely want to use. If you are just joining us, you are listening to Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, and we are talking about don't log in a fog. So who shouldn't log? Who shouldn't do a food diary? Well, first off, if you are somebody that struggles with obsessive thoughts around food, truly, if you are somebody that suffers with body image or has issues with compulsive disorders, or have been diagnosed with an eating disorder, this is something that you should discuss with your therapist or doctor, because it does and can become obsessive. And this is my warning. I don't want people becoming obsessive about this. And this is something that I see happening all the time. And this is kind of why I started the show by saying, use it loosely. Yes, you should try to get down the number or close to the number, but I can't tell you how many times I've had people text me to ask me if they should, you know, cut their piece of bread in half so that they could meet their calorie quota for the night. That's obsessive, because that same person 3 weeks later isn't paying attention to anything. And truly, I want to express the importance of this is knowledge and accountability. In the big picture, I want you to be able to look at something, look at a plate, and have an idea of what the caloric worth is. Just yesterday, I had somebody say to me that they were frustrated they weren't losing weight. And I said, well, are you logging? Their answer was, well, you know, sometimes. So right away, that tells me that they're not understanding their caloric intake. So the next question I typically ask is, how often do you eat out? Because there is a huge disconnect in the amount of calories in foods when we eat out. So his answer was that he had eaten out and, you know, he went to this Texas Roadhouse, and I thought he was going to say he had ribs, but he said he had made the right choices. But even with what he told me, I expressed to him that his calories were well over 1,000, and his jaw dropped. So I pulled out my Fitness Pal, I pulled it up, and his jaw dropped even more. I mean, his answer to me was, "Well, I would have gotten the ribs," and so that right there is another reason why you should log. And if you're not logging, use MyFitnessPal just as a reference. You know, if you don't want to go through the calculations and the logistics of putting it down, pull it out and or pull up the website and at least look and see what the calories are, or look and see what the sodium is, because that is a big eye opener. So here's another real life example. One of them was the going out to eat. Another one, I had a lady text me, or actually this was a phone call during her workday. We did a coaching call, and she said to me, "Hey, how many calories are in that pumpkin bar?" So right away I thought, well, gosh, what pumpkin bar? You know, I have hundreds of recipes, so what could she be talking about? So she says, well, it's not one of your recipes, but this really fit teacher that I work with brought them to work. They're in the teacher's lounge, and she made them for her daughter's track team. So right away, she's assuming that they must be healthy because the woman is fit and they're pumpkin. And so I couldn't advise her, and I told her, I have no idea what the pumpkin bars are made of. And truly, they could be healthy. I have recipes for the most healthiest treats. They're made with peanut butter and oats and flax seeds and chia seeds and nuts and raisins. But one of these little bites the size of a golf ball is 120 calories. And you definitely can't stop at one. And so therefore, without knowing that information, and this woman has lost 18 pounds with me, and she's somebody who has never been able to lose weight before. Never. Someone like this understands now that you can't assume that it's healthy because it's small and it's pumpkin and it came from someone who's fit. And so that is another real life example. A third one, and these are all that came from this week. A third one. I had a gal, she's been with me for like a month. Scale's not moving. I looked at her log. I didn't really recognize the recipes. So she told me that, you know, she loves my recipes, but, you know, she found a couple from another website, Skinny Taste. And I have no problem mentioning them because they have great recipes. They have great recipes. But their calculations are not the same. They don't meet the protocol that I have instilled in my weight loss regimen. And so therefore, it doesn't work for what I am expecting for weight loss. And so I calculated it out. I showed the lady over Fitness Pal, and the numbers were so off. They were lacking in protein. They were off in the fats. And once we changed that, and I showed her how to tweak it. So Skinny Taste, we are using the recipe. We just tweaked it a bit. She started losing weight without the calculation. And mind you, the calculations could be off. You know, she had things that were miscalculated. But the fact that she was gathering the knowledge, the fact that she picked up the beef at the store that normally she doesn't look at and put it back because she found the one that was lower in fat and threw that in her grocery cart. This is all what makes people lose weight. And without the logging, we're mindless. We don't pay attention to that. We just grab things, throw them in our cart, and then use them. And then finally, the other one that came up this week, I had a friend who told me that she was using this keto recipe that she used from another friend who lost 70 pounds. And she was going on and on about how great this Mongolian beef recipe was, and it was so, so good. And her friend lost 70 pounds, and I heard that like three times. But my friend lost 70 pounds, and I'm not losing. And my family loves this beef recipe, and she just kept going on about this beef recipe. But the point was that it doesn't matter. Yes, the beef recipe may have worked for your friend, but let's look at that beef recipe together. And we did. And it was astronomically high in fat. It was way too high in calories. She was not eating the right portion. And once we examined it and once we looked at the right portions that she could have, she could have it. And actually, I put it up on my blog today. I made it Get You Fit friendly. So check it out. Go on www.getyoufitfitnessandnutrition.com and check out today's blog. It is Mongolian Beef P.F. Chang Secret Recipe Skinny Style. So there you have it. So definitely consider all the wise things that I mentioned today about logging, and hopefully you will see things a little brighter and not quite so foggy. So hopefully this helps, and hopefully you enjoy the rest of your day.
Let's go. Make no excuses now. I'm talking here and now. I'm talking here and now. Let's go. Your time is running out. I'm talking here and now. I'm talking here and now. It's not about what you've done. It's about